It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in, for being locked in all over North America. Our producer, Ryan Bocci, he's in New York City. You could be in Mississippi. You could be in New Orleans. You could be in Sacramento. You could be in Vancouver. You could be in Honolulu. You could be in Chapel Hill. You could be anywhere. Thank you for being here. Show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we've had a busy show. Of course, it's September. Now we can really get into the nitty-gritty of some football. Thank you so much to Dan Wolkin for joining us. Covers all things college football for Yahoo Sports. Thank you oh so much to Grant Hughes coming on by to talk about the North Carolina Tar Heels and that beating they took last night. Do they have more beatings on the way? Possibly. Go ask Clemson, okay? Hey, we talked to Bill Huber about the acquisition of Micah Parsons for the Green Bay Packers. We just talked about Jackson Dart. Speaking of Ole Miss, this man moved up the depth chart. He is now QB number 2 for the New York Giants behind Russell Wilson. And we have more to do as the show continues on. Of course, at the end, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Baltimore Ravens, they're giving back to their fans. I'm going to tell you how in the next break. And so we have a lot to get into. Talked about Nick Sirianni ignoring the championship from last year. He's like, last year's last year. Leave me alone about it. Okay, we actually heard from David Mulligetta, the agent who represents Michael Parsons. And so we got more to get into, okay? Here's the phone number for the show. You want to get involved? You can. 888-710-4ISN. It's 888-710-4ISN. Me, I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. At JR Sport Brief all over the internet. Man, it's, even as I stand here in the studio, the U.S. Open is still going on right now. Djokovic is leading Fritz in the first set, 5-3. Man, Djokovic. Bacha, what is Djokovic? What does he have in his back? Is he like eating? What does he eat? Is there a special battery that this guy has? Like, he won't go away.
He's adamantium, like X-Men, Wolverine.
He's like Wolverine. He doesn't get hurt, huh?
Nope. Metal. He's got like a strongest metal in his body, healing factor.
Man, he just keeps on going. We got Nadal gone, Federer gone, Djokovic is like, screw this. I'm the Tom Brady. I'm the LeBron James of this. I'm not going anywhere. Been waiting on an American to consistently break through. And here we got Djokovic. It's early. Fine, I get it. But he already has a lead here on Fritz in the first set. I mean, amongst all the football that we discussed from the college side of things, we're getting ready for the pros on Thursday. You know, we've had some good matchups and good games as well. Good matches on the U.S. Open. Taylor Townsend, of course, she went down. Unfortunately, that match between Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka. Naomi got her out of there right away, smacking her in those first two sets. So pretty disappointing. We'll see how things continue on. As I sit here in the studio, we got Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson sitting down in Queens, New York, watching the U.S. Open. So, hey, we'll see. Maybe we get lucky and Fritz will turn things around if we should be lucky. 888-710-4ISN is Novak Djokovic is out here. This is not the championship, but trying to go out here and get another major. You know, I mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles. We heard from their head coach today, Nick Sirianni. We know the Eagles are trying to repeat. We know they're trying to go back-to-back. But they're completely trying to ignore what took place last year. It's a strategy of the Philadelphia Eagles to not even mention it. Nick Sirianni, knowing that these Eagles open up their season on Thursday, 2 days from now, against the Dallas Cowboys. Nick Sirianni, he's like, they're hanging a banner for us? Oh, I had no idea. Listen to Nick Sirianni.
It's famous that the fans booed the Eagles at halftime because they weren't happy with the way things were going, albeit it was banner night. How do you feel about the fact that even though it is banner night for you guys, the fans will still have the standard of performing and winning at a high level?
Yeah, I didn't know it was banner night. We won't be out for that.
No. Yeah, they don't celebrate. And it's done. I mean, what do you want from that? And it's not even a matter of them celebrating the Super Bowl. It's a matter of not even acknowledging it. Like, they put it in the rear view. Wide receiver A.J. Brown, Mr. Book Club, he said, last year, let's forget about it. It's done.
You know, I think from the outside, I think the city and everybody has been talking about it. But, you know, this building has been locked in. You know, we put it at the bed long ago. And like I said, we just ready to go. You know, that's over with. A lot of players didn't even experience that. So, you know, that's over with.
Can we get to Thursday? Like, can we? I get it. They're in preparation. Week one matchup is 2 days away. I don't blame them. I also have an expectation that they go out there and beat the Dallas Cowboys. I got the expectation that for the most part of the season, let's be real, the Eagles, come on, they're going to go. Unless somebody gets hurt, man, they're going to go back to the, well, not the Super Bowl. They're favored to go back to the Super Bowl. I am favoring them to go back to the Super Bowl. Too early to get into whether or not I think they're going to win it. But there's no doubt that they're favorites right now. And the way they concluded last season, you still got everybody in their prime? I would think so. This is the NFL. Anything can happen. Saquon has been injured in the past, and God bless him. He turned himself into a Philly legend in his first year playing for this team. But on paper, and they don't play the games on paper, the Philadelphia Eagles look good. It doesn't matter how much they want to or not acknowledge, you know, what took place last season. We got some other news throughout the course of the NFL as well. Think about some of the games that we have this upcoming Sunday. Sean McVay has some words on the health of Matthew Stafford. We know Matthew Stafford been dealing with that bad back for the past couple of years, actually needed an epidural shot into his back. What does his status look like as these Los Angeles Rams get ready to take on the Texans? Sean McVay got quite a few questions about Matthew Stafford's back, and Sean McVay had quite a few answers.
Do you expect Matthew to start against the Texans?
I do. Yeah, he'll be good.
Will he participate in the full week of practice?
Yep.
Yeah, that's simple. He's typically somebody who got a lot to say. And so if he's not saying anything, I think that bodes well. Matthew Stafford, he did talk. He was on the Let's Go podcast. He spoke to Jim Gray, who, yes, Jim Gray is still talking. Matthew Stafford today discussed his back. How you feeling, man?
Yeah, just been something that, you know, I was training for training camp, getting ready for it. You know, something kind of crept up on me, started feeling some issues, and got it checked out. Our guys here did a great job of taking care of me. And, you know, luckily I'm feeling a little bit better. Was able to practice the last couple of weeks, which was great. I love getting out there and being able to practice with the guys. But I'm feeling good going into week one, so excited about it.
People hear back issues and they get concerned. What's your level of concern?
I don't know. You know, I think it's obviously not fun. You know, I've had them before in the past, and, you know, you'd rather not have the back issue. But, you know, I do feel healthy going into week one. I feel really solid and feel good about, you know, going out there performing at a high level.
It's crazy. Yeah, backs are crazy. You know, it's wild. And I said it was a negotiating ploy. Damn it, Jerry Jones said it was a negotiating ploy when it came down to Micah Parsons' back. Okay, before he got traded to the Green Bay Packers. This whole conversation about Micah's back and whether or not it was really hurting. Is he not participating because he wants the money? Dallas Cowboys said his MRI came back clean on his back. Well, apparently, he's dealing with a sprain in his back. He might need an epidural the same way that Matthew Stafford received and got one. Come on now. You want to tell me he's not going to play in their first game? You want to tell me that Micah Parsons is not going to show up game one against the Detroit Lions? I think Micah Parsons will be out there ready to go. We'll see if he needs a shot. It's kind of crazy, kind of wild. Anyway, speaking of Micah Parsons, we heard from his agent earlier today. David Mulligetta was on ESPN breaking down this entire Jerry Jones experience that led to Micah Parsons being traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers. And just to put salt in the wound, not intentionally, but to maybe let Cowboys fans know how crazy Jerry Jones is, David Mulligetta says Micah never wanted to leave. He wanted to be a Cowboy. Listen to this.
I think the most important thing is that Micah wanted to be a Cowboy, right? You know, he grew up cheering for the Cowboys, you know, wore the blue and white at Penn State, wore it in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. He wanted to be a Cowboy. We did everything we could for him to remain a Cowboy. We reached out and like you said, I don't really do these interviews. We try to keep the negotiations out of the media. But in this case, so much information has been put out there that we wanted to just address a couple of things. But as far as Michael is concerned, he wanted to be a Cowboy. We did everything we could. And sometimes you got to be a little careful with what you read in the media as far as what was offered to Micah, the guarantees that were offered, the APY that was offered. There's so much that goes into an NFL contract. If you look at many of these contracts that the Cowboys have done over the past few years and the recent ones, you know, the guarantees don't stretch much further than the first new year. If you look at Micah's current deal, he has guarantees into, you know, 4 years from now. So again, there are certain things that have been put out in the media to make it look as though Micah turned down a fair or a great deal, but that's simply not the case.
Wow. And he's correct. I've never heard David Mulligetta speak in such capacity. I mean, how often do you get a guy who's just on behalf of his client sitting around on ESPN? And he didn't stop there. Of course, we had all the conversations about Jerry Jones not knowing who David Mulligetta is. We had Jerry Jones saying that I had a handshake agreement with Micah and I didn't need the agent, feeling that Micah went back on his word. It's just ridiculous by Jerry Jones. He shot himself in the foot on this one. David Mulligetta, he explained that conversation that Micah had with Jerry Jones, and I tend to believe David Mulligetta. Listen.
Definitely. You know, as far as Micah's concerned, he was, you know, he was out of the country. He got a call from Jerry's assistant and was asked to come in to meet about leadership. So when he got back from his vacation, he came in and he gave them a call, told him he was back. He was ready to meet at some point during that meeting that was represented to him about was going to be about leadership. It turned into contract talk. And, you know, if you're a 25-year-old football player and your boss, who happens to be the most powerful person in the NFL, starts talking about contracts, it's hard for you to end that conversation. So they had a conversation. Micah nodded his head out of respect. Obviously, there's a power dynamic that's a little different there. One guy is the owner of the team and the GM, and the other one is Micah Parsons, a young 25-year-old football player. So I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication there by the time Micah walked out, but at no point did Micah believe that he was negotiating a contract.
Yeah, just it's the most Jerry Jones thing ever. We got to wait week 4. We get the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Green Bay Packers. We got to wait for that one. And we'll see Dak probably out there running for his life on his bad legs, which he has had a broken ankle horrifically. Last year, the guy tore the bone off of his hip, his thigh. Oh, man. Yeah, Dak, he's not as mobile as he used to be. I can see Micah going out there trying to rip the guy to shreds. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We got The Ohio State University, number one on the AP poll. We got Bill Belichick licking his wounds from last night. Batra, I'm still scratching my head. Did the weekend fly by for you? I know you said you went to a Mets game. I tried to watch as much football as possible. It's still, I feel like we just were at damn July 4th. It is September 2nd.
If we're looking at just like the time itself and the date, it flew by. But living it this weekend, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I had a couple off days in between. It just feels drawn out.
The whole weekend?
The whole weekend felt like, instead of it being, was it a 4-day vacation, I guess? It was, felt like 5, 6. It was
odd. What the hell? Well, you were ready to come back to work? You were itching, chomping at the bit?
Yeah, not chomping at it, but it felt like I was out of a routine, you know?
Yeah, it took a while. Well, Bacha, do you know that here in the United States of America, for the developed world, Americans work harder than anybody else?
Good old America.
Yeah, we do.
I love it.
Yeah, people in other parts of the world are like, hey, I'm going on holiday, and they're taking days off, and they work 4-day weeks, and they have lunches where they actually lunch and don't shovel food into their mouth before they go back to work. So, yeah, we work a lot. You got to enjoy the time when you have it, Batra, okay?
Yes.
You're welcome. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, I can't say that. Well, Jerry Jones is the gift that keeps on giving. He gives pain to his damn fan base. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, and I love this trend that started. I love this trend. I'm going to tell you something that the Ravens are doing. The Baltimore Ravens, they're actually giving a gift back to their fans. And it should have never been ridiculously, I'll explain on the other side. We need more teams doing this. Okay, I'll explain. The Ravens are doing something good. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll tell you what the Ravens got going on. Of course, we'll get into a few things that took place this day in sports history. The phone lines are open if you want to give a call. 888-710-4ISN. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. It's 888-710-4ISN. You know, now we got football back. College side, NFL side. One of the things that's always driven me crazy about the sports experience is, of course, it's easy to just roll from, you know, your kitchen to your couch and call it a day. Sure, fine, awesome. I get to eat what I prepared. I don't got to spend a ton of money for it. You enjoy that factor. To go to a game, a lot of cases, you sit in traffic. You got to get your car in. You got to get your car out. And then you keep on moving after that, right? One of the worst things when you're there is you got to eat something, right? You're sitting down at a game. You're sitting down at a match. You're going to be there for 2 hours. Maybe you're going to be there for 3 hours. And maybe you're tailgating. Maybe you're going to be there for a long time. One of my pet peeves is the price of anything at a ball game. I don't care if you had a baseball game. I don't care if you had an NFL game, an NBA game. Having to buy a beer inside the stadium for the price of what I could get a whole six-pack of beer at the supermarket, the grocery store, the corner store, the fact that I got to pay, I don't know, $16, $17, $18 for a beer has always been ridiculous. And over the years, we've had some teams that have decided to, you know, slash some of these concession prices because it's just not reasonable, okay? I think we've all at some point in time, you know, bought some crap food that cost a lot of money. Like you're giving me a damn pretzel. Why is the pretzel $6 and $7? And then it's dry, it's hard, it's disgusting, it's terrible. Why are we doing this? So the Baltimore Ravens, they're one of the latest teams to start offering food items for a reasonable price. Okay, if you're asking me, some of these prices are still kind of ridiculous, but all things considered, you know, I would go for it. The Ravens are calling this flock-friendly fare. They have 11 items that are all under $5. God bless them. They're going to get some. They didn't include tax on this. You know there's going to be some tax. Uncle Sam has to get his piece. You can get a barbecue chicken sandwich for $4.99. You can get nachos for $4.49. You can get a hot dog, still expensive if you're asking me, for $3.50. This better be a good hot dog. You can get a pretzel for $1.99. French fries for $3.49. I hope there's a big amount of French fries. Peanuts for $3.49. There are people listening to me right now. Man, they used to put out, I don't know, a piece of change for some peanuts. $3.49 for peanuts. You can get chips. They're called Blackbird chips for $2.49. Get a box of popcorn. I don't know what size for $1.99. You can get a 12-ounce beer for $4.99. Okay, thank you so much for that. A 24-ounce soda, that's a lot of soda, for $3.99. And you can get a 20-ounce bottle of water for $3.49. That's the Baltimore Ravens helping people out. And so these items will be widely distributed across the stadium. You don't have to sit in no special section. You don't have to go around and do this. And this is the part that sucks. That the concession prices at a sporting event have been so high, they have just reached the roof, they've been astronomical, that the teams now know and understand that they got to dial things back. And sure, I think we've reached a different era now where we have restaurants and companies that are licensing their names inside of concessions and arenas. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, home of Chick-fil-A, we got a Chick-fil-A in our arena, okay? State Farm Arena, home of the Hawks. maybe they'll be good this year. Don't expect them to do anything. Kristaps Porzingis, don't trust them. But there's a Chick-fil-A in the arena. You can get Chick-fil-A in the stadium. Okay? I ain't paying for it. I mean, I'm pretty sure it costs more to buy Chick-fil-A in the stadium than it does outside. But can we just get back to a space where we just call it what it is? Like a slice of pizza in the stadium, does it need to cost, I don't know, $6 and $7? Like, what are we doing here? Bacha, you just went to a Mets game. Did you pay for the fare? The Mets have a lot of great food. They got everything from sushi to pizza. But do you buy when you're out there?
Depends. Usually, if I'm going to be cheap, I'll eat before I get there and park on the street and then walk about, I don't know, 10 minutes to the stadium. But if I didn't, like Saturday, I went in, had to pay the parking, of course, and it's still annoying.
How much, before you go on, how much is the parking at Citi Field?
It depends. So if you are a season ticket member, which one of my friends was, it came down to 27. But traditionally, it's 40.
Oh, my God. No, thanks.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then, to get on a subway there is what, 290 now?
Yeah, 290. Unless you
290 versus 40 bucks, damn it. Okay.
Yeah. 290 each way, so like $6 basically, or you take the LIR, depending where you come from, $5 to $15 each
way. Okay. So $40 is normal parking. And then what about the food inside?
The food inside, it depends where you go. I think traditional hot dog is like $8.
Wait, whoa. The cheapest hot dog in Citi Field. Anywhere in a hot dog is $8?
Yeah, like the every generic food you could think of is about $7.50 to $8. Oh. And then you get to the specialty stuff where it's like, okay, you're pushing it.
So but, if you want sushi at Citi Field, what is that going
to
be?
I would say, if it's, I don't know how much, I've never actually went to go look for the sushi, but I think they have, like for example, they sell like these like deep fried egg rolls or basically, depending on what team they're playing.
$25.
I think it's like $10 for one or two. And they're not big, so it's like you're not really getting a lot of food. And then I think a steak sandwich is like $20. It's not great.
And this is supposed to be, Steve Cohen is one of the richest owners in sports flat period. He's one of the richest guys on planet Earth, the United States of America, cut it up. Whatever which way. I think Steve Cohen has a net worth. What are we talking? Is he over 100, Bill?
No, I think he's like 16.
Only?
I think it's only 16-ish.
Oh, wow. Here we go. Well, this is not Steve. Some guy named Scott. We don't know who the hell that guy is.
He's 21.
Only, he's only worth $21 billion. Okay. He is the 30th richest person in the United States of America. Now, thank you so much, Steve Cohen, for all the New York Met fans out there. This is the guy who was able to bring in Juan Soto. He's not shy in spending money. He is the complete opposite of what the New York Mets have had in the past with the cheap Wilpons. It's like, how do you have a team in New York City and you're just cheap as hell? Well, Steve Cohen, man, you're spending the money on the team. Why can't you, Steve Cohen, give the damn New York Met fans a break? $8 for a hot dog? No thanks. Okay. Boncha said, you damn right. I will eat before I go to the game. But if I'm sitting down at a game, why do I want to just not pay for food? If I want to eat, I want to eat and enjoy the game. Okay. But at the same time, it feels like price gouging. It is price gouging. $8 for a hot dog? What are we doing? Boncha, is the hot dog any good?
No, it's the traditional, I guess, I want to call it dirty water dog, but it's basically the traditional grilled hot dog. You put it on a bun, you take out of a package, and you send it out. It's not that, but they do. Citi Field, if you are looking for food that is not bad, they do have it. So it's not the worst type of money you're spending because the food is good at the non-traditional stands.
Bruh, I will starve. Before I pay $8 for a hot dog, I'll starve. I'm not doing it. That's not even. You see, if you're gonna tell me this is like an Italian sausage, it's coming with some peppers on it, and you know it got some flavor, and you know a decent sized portion, and go ahead and sign me up. You know, I'll get a sausage for $8. But a hot dog, no thanks. We need more teams to do this. I know here in Atlanta, the Falcons have done a good job. And that shouldn't even be called the value meal. That's almost insulting. It's just like, here's the food that should be priced reasonably. That's not the other crap that we're serving and charging you too much money for. And so I get it. There's tiers of food. I think the Phoenix Suns have jumped onto the bandwagon. We got a lot of teams that have just realized we want to cut back on some of the prices. And so now the Baltimore Ravens are one of the latest teams to do this. Good on them. If it's going to save anybody any type of money, good. Sign me up. Yeah, I'll go to Baltimore and have me a barbecue chicken sandwich for $4.99. And I know it's going to be, what, $5.13, $5.08 when you count in tax. Just the experience of going to a sporting event is too much. It really is. It is. Like you got to be, you know, swimming in the cash to go to one of these games, let alone just pop up, go, take your family. Yeah, man, take your family to the game. And then you have to feed them at the game. Well, I stay my ass in the house. It's enough. I pay for the lights, the food, the electricity, the internet. Damn it, I pay enough in my house. I'm just going to use it all here. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's a simple question. Is it too expensive to go to a sporting event? Is it? Has it gotten too crazy to just take your family out? I mean, there's a lot of money invested. We got a lot of people sitting around watching on streaming and TV. It seems to be that's where the audience is. The arenas and stadiums, they appear full. The good teams, at least, when you turn on the television set. So people are going. Are they all freebies or are people spending all this money to go to these games? $8 for a hot dog? No thanks. Marco Belletti, you spending $8 for a hot dog at Citi Field?
Hell no. Ain't no chance.
$8?
Look, we all know that it's going to be a little bit more expensive, but the idea, I mean, like $8 for hot, what's the water? Isn't like a water like $10? Like, what are we doing? Like, I understand if beer is going to be expensive. All right, you want to, they're going to gouge you there, but like, you can't even get a water and a hot dog when it's 100 degrees out unless you got to spend another $25. No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no.
Yeah. Yeah. What am I doing? How much is a pack of hot dogs in the market?
I don't even know.
Depends what you get. I think it's like $4.99.
I was going to say $5, probably. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can get a pack. I can get a pack of Franks in the damn market. I got to spend $8 for one single-ass Frankfurter. What are we doing here?
No. No.
Shout-outs to the Ravens. We just need more of this. You know, in the current economy, 2025, even though things are still ridiculously expensive, painfully expensive, $5 is okay. All right?
I do wonder, JR, are we going to get to the point where, because all the, I mean, look, it's still an experience and people like to go and there's a people that have, you wind up, it's almost like a concert. It's like an event. You have to go. So it's different than it was. But you, especially when you talk about football, your experience is one game or you're watching on your phone when you're at the game. Are a lot of people going to get to the point where like, look, I can't spend whatever, $60 for parking, $8 for a hot dog, and I can't watch Red Zone. I can't watch this. I can't watch that. I might as well follow my fantasy team at home with 7 screens that I have 19, you know, different subscriptions for to be able to do that, where at least I can get the full experience of the day as opposed to one game.
Well, listen, I think people are already there. Aren't people already? I think, and I don't want to say it's a matter of scarcity. We know NFL teams, hey, you getting 8. You know, 8 about-ish home games at this point in time in the NFL. We know in Major League Baseball, hey, you're getting 81 home games. And so whether you play in a 40,000-seater or a 30,000-seater, you know, every game is not going to be filled up. But I feel like that's a larger issue for baseball. No? You know, there's so many games. I think, especially given the speed and the changes that they've made to the rules to speed the game up, I think people are like, hey, why do I want to go to the baseball game? It might be the cheapest, but at the same time, I feel like it's more difficult to get people in there.
No, that's fair. Like I said, I wonder where we're going with some of this stuff where, because nobody's got this kind of cash. And it boggles my mind where we get to, it almost feels like football especially, it's better to be on the road. where it's like, all right, I'm going to take a weekend. I'm going to.
It's full experience. It's a trip.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with a bunch of friends. That's We're going to hang out for 3 days, and it's going to be an awesome time and experience as opposed to one day, take the family. Like, I need a second mortgage. Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I might as well go on vacation with these kids instead of going to a game for 2-3 hours and coming back broken than I already am.
Right, but at least if you go away, I mean, depending on however you go, and you go with a couple of buddies or whatever, it is like a mini vacation. You're gone for 2 or 3 days, but you feel it's almost justifiable. I spent a couple of days in the hotel. I went to the game. Like, you're okay with spending money because you had a weekend away. When you're gone for 5 hours or, well, usually 9 hours because you spent 4 of them in traffic, it's tough to justify some of the money that's not in your wallet anymore.
Yeah, but Botcher, you said somebody called up and said the Brewers had a good promotion last night.
Yeah, they did Dollar Dog Night, and surprisingly, he said they set over their franchise record. Like they're keeping track of how many hot dogs they sell. They sold over 50,000 hot dogs. So if you really put that in like perspective, it's doing. I'm assuming Milwaukee a little bit less than New York. $6 for a hot dog, 50,000. You know, they're making so
yesterday
much money.
The Milwaukee Brewers. They sold hot dogs. Each hot dog was $1.
Yes.
And they did it just
brilliant.
They did it one day. Great. But you know what would also be great? And I get it. It's dollars and cents. It's a business. Why can't we have the damn hot dog be $1 every game? I don't know. What? I know why. I know why. But come on now.
You know what? For depending on who you are, get more people in the seats, get more people in the stands. You'd be surprised that all of a sudden they don't want a hot dog. You know, I know it's only $1. I'll get that with, because then I also want whatever, a sausage. I want a hamburger. I want whatever it is. Whatever. Yeah. Once you get them there, they wind up spending more money. And we know this. They know this too. But that means that the gouging is worth more than that. That's where it's almost like, geez, you make so much money that you don't even have to worry about how many people are here because that's how much money you make off this.
Well, we know money makes the world go round. So who cares, Bloody Botcher, who cares if me or you are hungry at the stadium? They don't care. We're there, right? I guess. What a world. $5, $8 damn hot dog. Kiss my ass, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history when a hot dog was cheaper. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Right now, you just heard his voice. It's time for a news flash. Here he is, Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Before we went to break, we talked about the Baltimore Ravens becoming the latest team to kind of drop these concession prices when you go to the game. They got a bunch of items, 11 items, now under $5. Well, thank you very much. Okay, I wish we'd have this more widespread across the country, and maybe we're certainly getting there. Yeah, I wish we would go back in time to a place where, I don't know, a hot dog was $1, and I need to spend $5 for some stupid peanuts. Okay, a matter of fact, going back in time, it's that time of the show. It's the end of the show. It's time for us to go back and take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Today is September 2nd. The year is 2025. And if we go back to September 2nd, 1965, we had a legend, a Hall of Famer, Ernie Banks. He hit his 400th career home run in Major League Baseball. He helped the Cubs go out there and beat St. Louis 5-3. Let's listen to part of Ernie Banks' Hall of Fame speech.
I am deeply honored and very grateful to be here today. This is certainly, and it will always be, the happiest day of my life. I once read that a person's success is dependent upon not only the talent that God gave him, but also upon the people who believed in him. This is certainly true as it concerns my own personal baseball career. Sure, I was the one who played the games. But if it not had been for people who believed in me and gave me the encouragement, there will be no games and I would not be here today.
Yeah, shout outs to Mr. Cub. God rest his soul. September 2nd, 1984. Yeah, we had a local Atlanta legend here. This guy was on fire when he was rolling. Gerald Riggs. This man rushed for 202 yards, had two touchdowns in his first NFL start. He was lighting it up at Arizona State. Lit it up for a few years here in the middle of the 80s with the Falcons. That day, the Falcons beat the Saints 36-28. The guy who never fumbled, Mr. 42, Gerald Riggs, is what he had to say about wearing that number 42.
I thought about this a couple of times years back, and certainly with the Jackie Robinson, and then guys, Charlie Taylor, it was there are a bunch of guys who won that number, and it's may not have had maybe the stellar career as some of them, but it for some reason it has stuck out to be a number of special significance, and I'm just glad and honored that I had the opportunity to wear it. Never once thinking early back in the early day that it really symbolized some things that were that turned up to be historically pretty much visible with our in society.
Yeah, well, 42 significance all over the place, especially in baseball where you can no longer wear it to honor Jackie Robinson. Riggs also picking up that Super Bowl victory with Washington. September 2nd, 2001, Michael Schumacher. He became the winningest driver in Formula One history. It was his 52nd career victory. He beat Alain Prost. This was his fourth world championship. Here's Prost talking about Schumacher taking that record. This is from ITV.
I don't know because it doesn't change my life very much, except I'm a little bit more busy on the race weekend and because everybody asked the question. I can see that as a package again. I am part of the history of Formula One, being first, second, third. Well, when you retire, it's not as important, but would have been good to keep this record forever. The most important is to be still there, to look at this kind of record being beaten.
Yes.
Especially when you have raced for 20 years in motor racing.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know what they say about records? Records are made to be broken. That was in 2001, damn. September 2nd, 2007. This was in 2007. Wow. Clay Buchholz. This guy throws a no-hitter in his second career start against the Baltimore Orioles. They beat him 10-0. This man had 115 pitches thrown to go along with 9 strikeouts. Man, listen to this courtesy of MLB.
1-2 the count to Nick Markakis. 2 down in the ninth. All zeros tonight for Baltimore. Curveball. The 1-2 pitch. He struck him out. Clay Buchholz has thrown a no-hitter in Boston tonight, and it sends Fenway into a frenzy.
Man, it feels like all these guys pitched yesterday. It feels like it, but it's not. How about this? September 2nd, 2008, Adrian Beltre. This man hit for the cycle. He went 5-for-6. Okay. Mariners went out there and beat the Rangers 12-6. Take a listen to this, courtesy of MLB. All the hits.
The 0-2 pitch to Adrian Beltre, and he had a couple of home runs yesterday in Cleveland. He's going to test out Arlington, and he's going to make that work for him here, too.
All right, very nice. One Seattle Mariner fan, though, right here.
Well, that'll be a happy fan after that. Another shot by Beltre, a triple away from the cycle. It could be. He's looking for the cycle. He's got a shot. Beltre on his way to third. He's got it. He's got a belly flop in a third base. He has cycled here at the ballpark.
Yeah, and I still think that's one of the coolest things that you can see at a ball game. You see a double, a triple, a home run, a sink, just to get all the hits. It's pretty fun. Remember one time I went to go steal, but I didn't steal. I went to go get some extra donuts. I was at a baseball game. Yeah, they had donuts for free. I didn't pay for them, trust me. And I missed a guy steal home. And I'm like, it was Jacoby Ellsbury, Yankee Stadium, by the way. Yeah, he actually played in the game. He stole home, and I'm like, I will never go to a baseball game and see a guy steal home. And I missed it because I was greedy. And there you have it. Anyway, those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's been September 2nd all day long. Bacha, have you ever been to a game and seen a guy steal home?
I think in like a weird way, yes. Not like a traditional, like you see in the video, like the highlights of Jackie Robinson where he straight stole home. But I've seen throws go down and guys steal home off of a bad decision by the catcher.
So the answer is yes.
Yes, but it's not a cool way where it's like
okay.
The pitcher throws the ball and he meets him at home plate. It's not like that.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I'm like, one thing I'll probably never see at a sporting event, another guy steal home, probably will never see a perfect game or a no-hitter. So those are the cool things that you're just like, damn, maybe one day I can see that. Hey, a big shout-out to everybody who came through and joined us for this show. Bill Huber, who covers the Packers for Sports Illustrated. Thank you so much to Grant Hughes, who covers the Tar Heels for 24/7 Sports. And thank you so much to Dan Wolken, who comes through via Yahoo talking all things college football. If you've missed a minute or a second of the show, you want to hear yourself, you want to go back, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Of course, it's Wednesday. It'll be time for a new top six list. In honor of the eve of the NFL season, I'm going to give you my top six NFL teams for 2025. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. The JR Sport Brief show is done on the Infinity Sports Network. Be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Don't move here on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart Winkler is coming up next. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Bacha.